Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. As you make your travel plans for the new year, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so when you make a purchase, part of the purchase price goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. So remember, when making your travel plans, check JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. The original air date, March the 19th of 1961. And this one is The Informer Matter.
Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar, my name is...
Yes? Well?
My name is Fred Ackerloyd.
Ackerloyd?
Yes.
Well, what insurance company do you represent, Mr. Ackerloyd?
No, none, Mr. Dollar. It's just that I'm the only... Well, you see, I'm calling from...
Yes? Hello?
Mr. Dollar.
Well? What's this all about, Mr. Ackerloyd?
Well...
Yeah?
It's about a murder.
Go on.
Yes.
Well, who? Where?
His name was Phil Bernasconi.
Bernasconi. Well, go on, sir.
No, I can't.
Why not? Because you did it?
No, good heavens, no. Believe me.
Tell me this. Do the police know about it?
Well, yes, of course, but... What they don't know...
What don't they know?
They don't know who did it.
But you do, is that it?
Yes.
Well, who was it? Come on, Mr. Ackerloyd.
No, I tell you, I can't.
Well, why not?
Well, don't you understand? It would be like signing my own death warrant.
All right, now you listen to me.
No, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Well, what do you mean? Hello? I wonder what that was all about.
The CBS Radio Network brings you Bob Reddick in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Informer matter. As I've mentioned several times in these reports, informers play a mighty big part in the solution of major crimes. Obviously, the man who called me on the phone was one of these. And I, like a darn fool, didn't contrive to keep him on, make him tell me what he knew. Also, of course, I had no idea whether the victim he named was an insurance client or not. But if not, why phone me? Expense account item 1, 10 cents for a phone call to Pat McCracken at the Universal Adjustment Bureau. Always a mine of information where anything having to do with the insurance business is concerned.
Well, the only way I can find out, Johnny, is by contacting all the companies that subscribe to our adjustment service.
Well, then maybe you better, because
you
I
see,
have a...
You see, a company doesn't report a death or loss or whatever to us until a claim has been filed.
Yeah, I know, Pat.
Now, this guy's name was Phil or Philip Bernasconi.
That's right.
And the man on the phone said he was murdered.
Yep.
What was his name?
Well, a kind of funny one. Fred Ackerloyd. Now, he told me just what I told you and then hung up on me.
Why didn't you try calling him back?
Where? He isn't listed in the directory.
Then I'll tell you what you do.
Well, I did, Pat.
What?
And the chief operator said there isn't even an unlisted number for him. So maybe he called from a phone booth.
Or from out of town.
But where? He started to tell me and then quit.
You better forget it, Johnny. Maybe it was just some crackpot making a nuisance of himself.
No, Pat. On this one, I've got a hunch. A real hunch.
Oh, you and your hunches. And what if this victim isn't insured with one of our companies?
Well, then why did Ackroyd call me?
I haven't the least idea. But until we get word from one of our companies of a murder...
Pat, I've got an idea.
A man named Philip Bernasconi, plus a request for investigation. A specific request for your services.
Pat, haven't I seen a stack of out-of-town phone directories down there at your office?
Sure. And do you have any idea how many of them there are?
So what?
Oh, now, Johnny, this is ridiculous. Look, too much time on your hands and don't know what to do with it?
Maybe.
Why get all excited, get yourself into an uproar when you don't know for sure? Why bother?
Why not? Item 2, $1.20 for a cab to Pat's office in the Spear building on the square. And there, over his protest, in a little cubbyhole in back of the switchboard room, I started going through phone books, directories from all over the country.
If you ask me, Johnny, somebody just made up that name.
Maybe?
Ackroyd. Look, I tell you again, this is ridiculous.
Well, why don't you stop yammering and give me a hand?
A crazy phone call that could have come from anywhere in the United States and because some nut said there was a murder somewhere. Hey, look. Oh, a directory from Vineland, New Jersey. My old hometown. What do you know?
The name Ackroyd in it? Take a look.
Oh, a name like that in my own hometown, you think I wouldn't have known about it? Here, you see? Academy Dog and Cat Hospital, Ace Heater Company, Achenbach, Ackroyd, Ackerman,
Ackroyd? Well, let me see that. Ackroyd, Frederick.
I'll be darned.
2424 East Elmer Street.
Okay, Pat. Oh, now, Johnny, this is ridiculous.
You said that. Am I on expense account?
Expense account? You certainly are not, unless we get the word from one of our companies down there.
Well, when you do, let me know. I'll be at the, well, at whatever hotel there is in Vineland, New Jersey. Item 3, $19.20. Taxi to Bradley Field and a plane to Philadelphia, PA. And during the flight, I began to wonder if maybe this time Pat wasn't right. If this wild hunch of mine wasn't pretty ridiculous. Nonetheless, item 4, there in the city of brotherly love, is $50 deposit on a rental car. I crossed the Delaware River Bridge. I forgot the toll, so skip that. And drove down to the heart of sunny southern Jersey. I registered at the Vineland Hotel on Landis Avenue, dropped off my bags in room 313, and then started out through the lobby to hunt for the address of Ackroyd on East Elmer Street. But the clerk at the desk stopped me.
Mr. Dollar.
Yeah?
Tried to call you up in your room.
Oh?
His telegram just arrived for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Now, let's see. Well, from Pat McCracken. Says, I don't know how you do it, Johnny.
Johnny, but you were right. It was murder. You're on expense account.
Repeat after me, please. What do you want when you need brand?
What do you want when you need brand?
Reliability.
Reliability.
Now, what do you get in Kellogg's All Brand?
What do you get in Kellogg's All Brand? Reliability.
Right. Hi, this is Dennis James to explain why Kellogg's Way is the reliable way to get the effectiveness you want from brand with just half a cup a day. See, Kellogg's All Brand is the real Battle Creek formula, the one that millions of people depend on. And they depend on it because Kellogg's All Brand contains more vital brand bulk to help you keep regular. It's low in calories, and it's mighty pleasant eating, too. Kellogg's All Brand comes in crisp, toasted shreds that have a wholesome bran muffin taste. I think you'll like it. So be sure you remember, for the effectiveness you want from bran, get reliable Kellogg's All Brand.
That's what you get in Kellogg's All Brand. Reliability.
The telegram there in the hotel in Vineland, New Jersey, was brief and to the point.
I don't know how you do it, Johnny, but you were right. It was murder. You're on expense account. Contact Branson at Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty for details regarding
the murder of Philip Bernasconi. Signed, Pat McCracken.
Bad news, Mr. Dollar.
Listen, did you know a man by the name of Philip Bernasconi?
Yeah, sure did, and I wasn't one bit surprised when somebody murdered him a couple of days ago.
How come?
Well, he wasn't what you'd call a bad sort, not anymore. Trying to get to himself in that nice little house of his over on Pear Street.
Well, tell me.
Well, nobody in town could figure out where he got the money to retire him, only being in his early 50s. And then the word got around he'd piled it up in some kind of racket, and he didn't do so good by some of his pals. Well, you know what they say about those kinds.
Where's the phone booth?
There, against the wall.
Thanks.
They say that sooner or later those gangsters always get even, they do, and it looks to me like this time they finally did. What I mean is, you know...
My call was to Harry Branson, my ever-worried little pal at Philly Mutual.
John, thank goodness you called.
Yes, Harry. Pat McCracken wired
me. You must come down here right away, John.
Well, as a matter of fact...
And don't bother stopping here in Philadelphia. Go right on down to Vineland, New Jersey.
Well, that's where I am.
There's been a murder, and you must solve it immediately. A client of ours by the name of Philip J. Bernasconi... insured for some $30,000.
Harry.
At first, the police thought it was an accident, which would have meant $60,000 because of the double indemnity clause.
Now, listen, will you?
But the chief, the police chief, tells me that... what'd you say?
What have I had a chance to say?
You're where?
In Vineland.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Harry.
But as long as you are, well, I'll go to it, John, and I wish you luck.
Just give me the answer to the all-important question.
Yes, what is it?
Who's the beneficiary of this insurance?
Well, you see, in spite of Bernasconi's rather shady past, he, the beneficiary, was willing to forget it. Let him live in peace down there.
The beneficiary's name?
He even promised to protect Bernasconi from this very thing that's happened.
His name, Harry.
Name? I told you, Bernasconi.
No, the beneficiary.
Oh, of course, yes. It's the man you're to contact. His name is Harvey Renzoli.
Renzoli?
Yes, he's the chief of police.
He's what?
Who?
Renzoli.
But I told you the chief of police.
And the beneficiary.
That's right. So see him, John. I'll see him right away.
Sorry, Harry.
Sorry.
He's the one man I don't want to see.
What?
Not yet. Renzoli was not only Phil Bernasconi's beneficiary, but the chief of police who had promised him protection against his old gangster pals. I got into my rental car and headed east on Elmer Street, a block south of Landis Avenue. By the time I got to 2424, I was practically out in the country. The house sat alone, except for one across the road. It was a rather shabby little affair, badly in need of a coat of paint. An old man in overalls was pounding away at a shaky-looking mailbox out in front of the place.
That ought to hold her. Howdy.
I'm looking for Mr. Fred Ackroyd.
I'm kind of deep.
Are you Mr. Ackroyd?
No. I'm the owner. I'm his landlord, but this here's where he lives.
Okay, thanks.
I ain't seen him around today, but I think there's somebody in there.
Okay.
You want to know anything about him, I'll be in my own place across the street. You hear me?
Yeah, thanks.
Yes? Something I can do for you?
The man at the door was tall, young, with a dark complexion and smooth black hair. His eyes took me in, all of me at one quick glance. Those eyes were pretty sharp, and so was the hat that he wore. He was hardly that kind, but I caught a whiff of perfume as he opened the door.
I said, "Is there something I can do for you, mister?"
"Yeah, I'm looking for a Mr. Fred Ackroyd."
"Oh. Well, come in.
Thanks. You're Mr. Ackroyd?
Is your name Dollar? Johnny Dollar?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Then he did get through to you.
He?
That's right, Ackerloid.
Oh?
That means we'll have to kill him, too.
What?
After we get through with
you! No, you don't! Oh, yes, I do, baby!
Okay, baby. And I'll just take this gun of yours, you know, while I go and... Huh? Oh, that crazy landlord. Lucy! Lucy!
Yeah, what do you want?
Listen, that fool landlord heard the shots. He's coming across the street. Now tell him it was a backfire. Chase him away. I'll go and bring Ackerloid here so I can put him away alongside of Dollar.
Okay, Tony.
Yeah. Then you and me, we can get out of this burg.
Try new king-size Philip Morris Commanders. New because the tobacco in them is vacuum cleaned. And the cleaner the tobacco, the better it tastes. Yes, the cleaner the tobacco, the better it tastes. Philip Morris Commanders are made by a new kind of machine, the Mark 8, that takes rich, full-flavored tobacco and first gently vacuum cleans it. Then rolls the cigarette fully, evenly, cuts the ends clean and firm. The result is new Philip Morris Commanders with the cleanest tobacco ever rolled in a cigarette. Try a pack. You'll get a full, round, king size of solid smoking pleasure because the cleaner the tobacco, the better it tastes. Noticeably better.
Commanders, welcome aboard.
What do you mean, shot? You must have heard a backfire from a car, that's all.
Maybe so.
Well, sure, you know, with that bad hearing of yours being so deaf and all.
Well, but didn't I see a man go out the back way?
Well, sure, it was that man you showed the way up to the door a couple of minutes ago.
Funny that he didn't drive away in his car, ain't
it? What's funny about it? Look, go on, I'm busy. I gotta clean up Mr. Ackerloid's house before it gets too dark.
I ain't seen him around all day. Where'd he go to, miss?
How should I know?
Talk louder, I don't hear good.
I said, how should I know?
And I wish he'd tell me when there's somebody coming in here to clean
Look,
one.
Will you leave and let me get my work done?
Oh, sure.
Why that Tony had to leave me here to... Hey, are you still alive?
You bet I am.
Oh, no.
All right, now be quiet.
That blood all over your shirt.
And a couple of pretty sore ribs, too.
Tony thought he killed you if he finds out.
He'll find out, all right.
No. Hey, come on, now let go of me. You're some kind of cop. Now let go of
me. All right,
me,
now just take it easy. Now look, I hate to sock a woman.
Okay.
First, we turn off these lights in here.
Now, listen. I didn't do nothing. I'm not one of that gang.
Gang?
I'm only a friend of Tony.
The gang that knocked off Bernasconi? Well?
Yeah. No. Listen, Tony will murder me if I talk.
Why? Why did he kill him?
Because they found out he was going straight. They found out he was down here palling around with a cop.
And where does Fred Ackerloid fit into this? Come on, talk.
He was Phil's friend from the old days.
And he'd come down here to warn him, maybe help him?
Yeah. Now let me go. I had nothing to do with it.
One more question.
Oh, no, please. Tony will kill me. You don't know him.
Where did he go? To pick up Ackerloid, to bring him back here and knock him off?
I don't know. Oh, please. Honest, I don't know. I looked at they're coming up the road.
Tony.
And Mr. Ackerloid all tied up. Listen, mister, please.
No time to listen.
No. Here. What are you doing, my skirt?
Quiet or so help me.
Please, look, forgive and evidence. Maybe you get me off easy.
Let's see. All right, now down on the floor.
What are you going to do?
Get down. There where I was. And be quiet, you understand?
Yeah, sure.
It was the fastest rapping job I ever did in my life. And I hoped the gag would keep her quiet. Outside, in the semi-darkness, I could see Tony pushing along a man who was gagged. Had his hands tied behind him and his ankles hobbled with a piece of rope. I crossed, went back at the door, crouched there. Waited.
In you go, Ackroyd.
Yeah, that's right. You just lay there where I can... Hey, what's the matter with some light in here, Lucy? Lucy!
Lucy, where is he? What happened? Richard, where's Dollar? Where is he?
Right here, Tony!
No, you don't.
Hey, you're too weak, ain't you? You're too weak after that shot in the belly. Okay, Dollar. This time, I don't miss. Now, you just lay still, baby. And I push this barrel right up close to your head. Or I don't make too much noise. The way I did with Bernasconi. And I'm going to do with Ackroyd. And maybe Lucy, too. After I get through with you. Shut up, Lucy! I knew I shouldn't have brought a dame along. Now you shut up! All right, now, Dollar. You are first.
Watch him, boys.
Cops! All right, you dirty...
Okay, boys, we're under control.
Right, Chief.
Okay, sir.
You must be Johnny Dollar.
Chief Renzoli.
That's right. You okay?
What do you think?
Well, you just lie there, take it easy. You don't look too good.
Sure.
But what brought you in like the U.S. Marines?
Well, ever since this Ackroyd. You see, he used to be bookkeeper for a mob up in Philadelphia.
Oh?
Yeah. So ever since he came here and started hanging around with Phil Bernasconi, Phil was going straight, Mr. Dollar. He was a friend of mine.
Yeah, so I understand.
Well, anyhow, I've kind of kept an eye on Ackroyd. Untie him, one of you boys. Take out his gag.
Yeah, sure, Chief.
When Phil was killed, well, Ackroyd was clean. He just wouldn't talk. Not to me, anyhow, but I felt he knew who did it. I also figured whoever did do it might come down here to make sure he couldn't talk.
Yes, which is exactly what happened. But how did you know who I am?
Phone call from that insurance man up in Philadelphia.
Harry Branson.
Mm-hmm. Said you were coming here, told me what you looked like.
I see.
So when the landlord for this place lives across the street, well, he telephoned me a while ago, gave me your description. He said he thought something funny was going on here. Oh, here he comes now.
I told you, Chief. I told you there's something wrong about all the people here in Mr. Ackroyd. Oh, all these bodies, all the... Oh.
Well, Chief, shall I bring him too?
Well,
why not let him rest a while, Chief? He certainly earned it.
Yeah, I guess he has.
I understand that Tony recovered well enough to be tried and convicted of Bernasconi's murder. Lucy, his girlfriend, gave enough evidence against the mob in Philly to enable the police there to round them up. Where she is now, I don't know. Like Fred Ackroyd, she moved away. A long way away. Expense account total, including services of a doctor for the bullet crease in my side, $115.20. And believe me, I'll welcome a nice fat fee on this one. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Buick Special sweeps Class C of Mobile Gas Economy Run, placing first and second. The Buick Specials averaged 25.09 and 24.67 miles per gallon and ran on regular gas, as certified by the United States Auto Club. The Special's victory represents a clean sweep among compact cars with V8 engines and automatic transmissions. But that's not all. In the grueling 2,000-mile run from Los Angeles to Chicago, in every kind of driving condition, over mountains, plains, rough roads, and smooth, the Buick Special proved the most savingful of all automatic shift V8 cars entered, regardless of class. Yes, with a Buick Special, you get gas savings like the smaller cars, yet more go than many full-sized cars. plus Buick styling, Buick comfort and luxury. And you can own a Buick Special for less than you'd pay for most models of the low price field. Take a fun run in the car that got 25.09 miles per gallon to win both first and second in Class C of this year's Mobile Gas Economy Run. The Buick Special at your dealers now.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Well, next week, my job is to protect a wanted criminal from, believe it or not, a policeman. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Reddick, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr. Musical supervision by Ethel Huber. Third in our cast were William Redfield as Tony, Dawson Zerbe as Pat McCracken, Ralph Bell as Fred Ackerloyd, Gary Keane as Lucy, Bill Lipton as the clerk, and Larry Haynes as the police chief. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Art Hanna speaking.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. I think Johnny's decision to kind of mistrust the local police was somewhat understandable, given the chief was the beneficiary. It was a very dubious setup, but ultimately turns out to be a mistake. John C. Abbott's book, The Who Is Johnny Dollar Matter, notes that this is the 11th recorded time that Johnny got shot. So I hope he does get some serious commission off this, as he said at the end of the episode. Listener comments and feedback now, and we have a question from Nancy. Nancy writes in, did you receive any credit for my booking a hotel through JohnnyDollarAir.com? Well, Nancy, the answer to that one is that I can't individually tie a commission to a specific person for verification purposes, but I can tell you that as of the time I checked, we had received commissions for three separate hotel reservations in the month of December, and I assume yours was probably one of those. And I want to go ahead and thank everyone who's used JohnnyDollarAir.com this year. We've received credit for hotels, airline tickets, and rental cars purchased off of JohnnyDollarAir.com. And we've had more commissions this year than in any previous year. So it definitely does make a difference. Johnny Dollar Air is probably our fourth best revenue stream for the program, behind Patreon support, advertisers, and one-time donations. So again, thanks to everyone who use it. And I always just urge people to check JohnnyDollarAir.com first. If you're comparing, and you find, sometimes you find sites where it's just exactly the same amount of money, go through JohnnyDollarAir.com, and a part of purchase price goes to support us with no additional cost. So thanks to everybody who has done that this year. Really appreciate it. She also has an additional question. Also, another series that would be good for your show would be Bold Venture with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. They aren't officially detectives. They do solve quite a few cases. I'd actually define Bold Venture more as an adventure series. So I don't think it quite fits with Great Detectives. But we did do several episodes as part of our Summer of Bogart. And I'd encourage you to go and check out those episodes. The Summer of Bogart at this time of broadcast is just about three episodes or Three episodes back from the amazing world of from our Christmas and Thanksgiving special. So check that out at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Thanks for the email, Nancy. And then we have a couple of emails trying to resolve the ending to The Morning After matter, where Johnny made a somewhat ethically dubious decision to let a guy go who seems to have committed insurance fraud. We start with John, who says, "Thank you for the great Detectives podcast. You do a great job. I wouldn't change a thing. I enjoy your commentary, and I think the current theme music is appropriate to the show. Keep up the good work. I was responding to your call for a guarded opinion on the ending of The Morning After matter from a lawyer. I'm, in fact, a practicing lawyer in South Carolina. I don't handle criminal cases, but I have represented insurance companies in years past. At a minimum, I think the insurance company would probably have the order declaring the husband dead overturned, assuming that timely pursued it. I'm less certain about the criminal prosecution since it's outside my area of experience, but I suspect that even in 1961, drugging an insurance agent to keep him from leaving was a crime. I also thought the ending was weak. Aside from the legal issue, Johnny is a nice guy and all, but the commission on $600,000 would have been too tempting to forego." Yeah, I would agree on that. Johnny has had cases where he has totally foregone his fee for a really good cause, but this was not a good enough cause for that size of fee. Aaron says, "This is an intriguing episode, despite the odd convenience of Johnny knowing where to find the guy based on a picture of a fish. The ending did leave something to be desired, but I think it can easily be fixed. Based on the Dragnet episode you referenced, where the missing man was found but left alone because he hadn't committed any crime, the man of this episode is, however, at risk of committing insurance fraud. And Johnny shouldn't have left him alone. The insurance company knows he's alive and surely won't pay out $600,000 just to appease a shrewish wife. The man also surely didn't want to divorce her and be on the book for alimony, continuing to finance her spendthrift lifestyle. But if he were to pay the $600,000 to the insurance company and they cut her a check with the company name on it, that way their payout isn't the policyholder's money. It may not be above board, but like Sherlock Holmes finding the killer of a blackmailer and not turning them in, Johnny could show similar compassion on the man. She would get her payout, the insurance company isn't hit $600,000, and the man is well rid of her." The big problem with that idea, and I think it's a good way to go, Aaron, is that according to the episode, he essentially lost most of his money, all except for $100,000, and real estate, which she has held and disposed of. So he just does not have the money. If he had decided not to wreck his companies before running away, then this might not be a big issue. But the alimony is definitely a part of it. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet. Next Friday, another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.